Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. April is Financial Literacy Month, and tonight we're talking about home ownership and wealth building. My guests are Antoine Thompson. He is the National Executive Director of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, and also Saron Pugh. He is the President of the United Realists of Prince George's County. Lines are open if you have a question or comment as we're talking about building wealth and home ownership at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, Wayne was challenging some of the things that you were saying. Please go right ahead, Antoine.
Well, first, I think we all have to understand that there are a number of things that happened during the crisis, and some people may have been irresponsible on their own part, but a lot of that was not necessarily the challenge that was created by the consumer. You had a lot of things happening where people did do some refinancing. They were sending things out repeatedly, and a lot of our people did get some bad refinance deals. That doesn't mean that's not a responsible thing to do. It's like anything. It's like getting a credit card. It's because you get a credit card, you got to be responsible with it. That doesn't mean all credit cards are bad. The same way all refinancing your house is not always a bad thing. But we simply said that if you have access to equity in your house and you want to send your kids to college, that's happened for white families and black families for years, but do it in a responsible way. And the next thing is the issue of free credit reports, as I'm certain that the realtor understands that there are individuals that can get one free credit report a year from each of the agencies. So if that person has exhausted that opportunity, they can come. In addition to that, sometimes, even though that service is free for your first one, some people are still intimidated by that process. So to be able to come in a community that you're comfortable with nationally recognized home counseling providers, they can provide that comfort, that assurance that our people often need because some people are intimidated by the home buying process.
But let me not speak for Wayne, but I think if I cannot to put too fine a point on it, I would take issue with the fact that some people were irresponsible. Millions of Americans were irresponsible, and a great many of them were people of color, and a great many of them were in this area because a lot of them were keeping up with the Joneses. We all know that. And so I think the question that Wayne is raising is, what did we learn in Prince George's County, in Charles County, in Maryland, in Fairfax, Virginia, in McLean, and even in Washington, about not building wealth, but just being financially responsible?
I think you want to go into that, and I'll follow up with
okay,
that.
I want to say that with Wayne, the real estate agent. No, I was not referring to just refinancing out.
Yeah, of course, for the sake of doing it. Yeah,
for the sake of doing it and go out. No, that's not what I was saying. What I was saying was, having equity in your home gives you that advantage or that opportunity. Mm-hmm. He said emergency, which is great. But also, if you're looking to purchase other property, that's great. But I was not in no way saying, oh, just refinance just for the sake of refinancing.
And buy a car.
Or pulling equity out just for the sake of doing
I was,
that.
That's not what I was suggesting.
I think sending your kids to college is a great investment. Mm.
Yeah. Although, and one of the other arguments, you know, about that is the high cost of college.
We're not here to say that.
Yeah, I know. No, what I'm saying is you want to encourage your kid to get a scholarship.
One who's paying private tuition, kids about to graduate and go to law school in a couple weeks and saying, I got a 3.85 GPA. It's good to be able to have something to fall back on.
Yeah, one more.
All right.
Yeah,
my kid is not a trust fund baby. She's got three working parents. And fortunate to have a stepfather who's equally invested. So I am. Our association is all about building wealth. Yes, there was some things, but don't say everything was 100% on the black people. A lot of black people always preyed upon. You have rent to own. We got people preying on us for our milk is higher, our bread is higher, our food is less fresh. They show us less houses than a black person with a status of yours. If you get a white realtor sometime, there's been research and documented that they show black people less houses than white people. All right. And every day I get an email from FDIC or one of the federal regulators talking about how some institution was sanctioned for discriminating against black people. That's why we have to be out here fighting to make sure that we don't create a generation of renters.
Yeah.
Rents going up and mortgages are low. We got to get off of that cycle. They're even talking about in a couple of years that you won't even lease a car for 3 years. You'll be leasing a car for a month. This is a culture where they're perpetuating renting versus owning. We want to be part of the ownership society.
Wayne, thank you so much for your comment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dina, calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you?
Doing just fine.
Great. I have a question. My husband and I moved up here a couple years ago. We have a home in South Carolina, and we purchased a home a year ago here in Woodbridge. Our daughter is in college now, and we're considering purchasing a home in the state where she is going to college in the town and considering renting it out so as an investment property so that it can kind of pay for her student loan.
Where is she in school?
She's at school at Kent State in Ohio.
Okay. Go ahead. That's, what's that, Northeast Ohio. No, Northwest. Go right ahead. Yeah.
So we're just trying to figure out, we talked with someone who told us about a way that we can do it where she would be the co-borrower. I mean, we would be the co-borrowers and the house can be in her name and that she could in turn utilize the funds to kind of help pay off her student loans instead of us getting all the money and having to pay those loans back. So we were trying to see if maybe doing this was a good option or a good investment, or is there any risk to doing this?
Well, there's always risk, but I mean, it's one of the many options that are available that are on the table for you to take advantage of. I mean, it doesn't sound like a bad idea at all. I would research my information to make sure that you can handle financially both your home and your property and the property that you're going to purchase. But I mean, home ownership is not bad. And if you want to have a piece of investment property for you to have later on in your senior years, that's great. Or you want to use the funds to offset her student loan monthly payment, that's great. It doesn't hurt to have one or more properties, especially when they are income producing. So I would suggest to you to continue to research to make sure that this would be a win-win situation for you, that there aren't any gotchas down the road somewhere. And I think you should be fine. But yes, that's a pliable option that you need to consider.
Antoine?
And if I could just quickly, NARAP, we're a national organization, so we have a lot of black real estate professionals from our association in Ohio. Our national office number is 301-552-9340. We can find out if we have someone in your immediate area that can give you some professional advice. And I also would say to all the listeners, it is not uncommon, particularly in the white community, for a family, when they have two or three kids that are going to be going to college in a college town, to buy a two-family house or a three-family house and purchase that when they have their kids, they're going to be going to the same university, because then they don't have to worry about room and board. And then their friends can rent and the kids can live there. So it's not uncommon for families to buy a rental property their kids have to pay their tuition and for other kids to live in as well.
Okay,
well, so that's a smart, that's a wise decision. But like Mr. Pugh said, it's all in the details, and that's why you need a great NARAB member from Ohio to help you with that.
Dina, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Deborah, calling from Reston, Virginia. What's on your mind, Deborah?
Hi, I just want to talk to the gentleman, your guest, who I am also a former, well, I'm a former realtor, not from the area, but I really appreciate you guys coming on discussing this. I think it's very important to our people.
Mm-hmm.
But I went, upon moving here, and I moved here from Ohio, I could not believe the travesty that I saw was about to happen, because I thought everybody here had to make $200,000 a year or more to afford the houses, and the prices were astronomical. With that being said, I was taken back when the gentleman did mention that you can go into your house and get equity. This is how I feel about equity in a house. It's like, it's the soul of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you go in for any reason, kids included? I didn't have parents who were able to help me, not one bit through college, but I have my degree.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we have to give the responsibility to our kids,
mm-hmm,
to help with their education. They're going to be here much longer than any of us, probably, and mm-hmm, they can handle a little debt. I'm not saying send your kids to Ivy League and have them have $200,000 or $300,000 worth of loans. But I think some of that responsibility can go to the child eventually. And also, we need to spend more time with our kids to get them well-educated so that, like you said, they get scholarship. But on the real estate end, you should not access equity in your home for not – there is not a reason for me, because I was in a situation where the person I was with, when it came time to sell the property, all the equity was gone in the new Jaguar sitting out in the driveway.
Mm.
And then we had to come up with money,
mm-hmm,
to buy a home. And
okay,
to me, that was ridiculous. But however, the people, his friends, so-called, the friends, the brokers, the mortgage company, yeah, come in and get the equity because they're making the money.
Yeah.
Not him.
Well, Deborah, let me allow my guest to at least respond to that, Sarone.
Deborah, you're absolutely correct. If you don't have to touch it, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Let it sit there. Let it grow. And also allow your kids to take on a little debt later on in life. Again, that's case by case, individual by individual. Some people may need to do it. Others may not. There is no straight rule or something etched in stone. So I totally agree with you. If you don't have to touch your equity, please, by all means, do not do so.
Okay.
But if you do need to, then, of course, it's there, like the other caller said, in emergency cases.
But it's the ultimate reason why we're here. And I think this is what I hope people understand. There's no equity in renting.
No, we.
Oh, right. Yeah, but
yeah,
she's talking about home.
We have a 41%.
I know. Let's not misconstrue the point. She's not talking about rent.
Okay, I just want the audience
understand
to understand.
That. No, we're not.
And the reason why we don't want to sit down and while you're educating your kids about college, how about giving them some financial advice and
absolutely
showing them very early,
right,
about
right,
how to handle money? Because a lot of us, me included, I didn't have a parent that sat me down and taught me about finances.
Okay.
And I think that you need to start early with your children so that they understand and they know how to handle money. They will have it for the rest of their life.
Well, Deborah, thank you so much for your point. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810.
Your home doesn't matter. We agree with that 100%.
202-319-7810. We're talking about home ownership and building wealth. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Marie, calling from D.C. Also, we're going to talk about the process, because as of January, and indeed as of last month, it becomes just a little bit more difficult to buy a home in America. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue the conversation about home ownership and wealth building. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Marie. Marie calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Marie. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hi. I'm just listening to the previous callers, and I'm honestly laughing because I respect what their opinion, but that is just that, because home ownership is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a single parent. I didn't have no silver spoon coming up. You know, I just apply what my grandmother told me. Don't spend what you don't have, mm-hmm. okay, and be responsible with your money. I purchased my home when my son was 9 months old. He's now 16.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I didn't even think it was possible that I can even buy a home, number one. But I talk a lot, and I ran into the right person who informed me about the different types of home ownership programs they had in the District of Columbia, or they have. And it was the best thing. I started attending the classes, getting informed, mm-hmm. and found out about a program called HPAP, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Based on my family composition, because I was a single parent, I qualified for HPAP. I even qualified for VPAP. And I'm telling you, it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Well, Marie, let me stop you because you know about it, but a lot of people don't. Saran, what is she talking about?
Okay, essentially, what Marie is talking about is different down payment assistance programs that are available in the DMV. The ones that she mentioned specifically was HPAP. That's a D.C. Program.
What does it stand for?
That's a very good question.
HPAP?
Yeah. I cannot remember. But it's a very good program. I have done a number of clients. I had a number of clients that went to that program. And what it does is this. It helps with down payment and closing cost assistance.
Home purchase assistance program.
There
go
it is.
Right ahead.
Yeah. And so they help you. It helps you tremendously. So those who may not have the income that's needed or the resources that's needed, these programs in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia will help you. It's a very good way to go. They're called DPAs, Down Payment Assistance Programs.
And every community has down payment assistance programs. And it's really, really important to get that information out because our people, you know, the Bible says we suffer from a lack of knowledge. And so there are lots of down payment assistance programs that can help you. In fact, most people believe that you need a 20% down to buy a house, and that really is not the case for your first house anymore. So you can get, there are a lot of banks that are offering 3% down plus closing costs and down payment assistance through some of the financial institutions. And there are a lot of nonprofit agencies and governmental agencies that are offering money to help and assist with the purchase of a home,
which goes to the point. I would imagine that on the 8th, that there will be discussion about those kinds of programs.
That's correct.
And one of our advocacy, so nationally, we are advocating for, you know, credit does matter. You know, when you talk about student loans, when we talk about the underwriting criteria was often more restrictive for Black people compared to white people. And so access to credit is important. It impacts the income of an individual. Income does matter. We need to make sure we increase the income of our people so that they can get an affordable and sustainable mortgage. The other thing that's important they'll hear about on Saturday is about the importance of working with good mortgage and bank lenders that will help you buy a house, but working with a good real estate professional that will make sure that they help you read the fine print. I think you were talking about that earlier. You mm-hmm. got to read, and don't just be excited to get the house, because getting that the keys are great, but we're all for responsible, affordable, and sustainable home ownership, because we want you to get the house. We want you to protect that home so that you can pay off the mortgage, and then ultimately, when you move on, transfer that property from one generation.
Generational wealth is what you're speaking about.
There are some people mm-hmm. that have had homes that have been in their families for 30, 40, 50, 70 years. Mm-hmm. There are Black people in America that are like that. And we've got to get out of this thing of thinking that a homeowner, it's easier to rent, and it's better to rent than to own. And that's a dangerous cycle that we've got to break.
Marie, thank you so much for your phone call. To your point, and we can't miss this, and this also has to do with really kind of paying attention to what is going on. One of the things that, and both of you, I'm sure, are well aware of this, on his first day in office, President Trump signed an executive order that actually it was an Obama-era policy. It reversed the policy that helped non-wealthy homeowners. It forced borrowers to have to pay some 0.6% for their mortgage each month. So we're talking about, what, a $200,000 mortgage, roughly about $500 a year. That may not sound like a lot, but when we're talking about people who are trying to make a decision, first-time home buyers, every little bit helps and every little bit hurts. That on top of just today, the Federal Reserve released its minutes for a committee hearing saying that they are considering raising rates yet again. Now, they raised rates a quarter point last month.
Yes, they did.
There's been talk about raising rates three times again, almost to a full point this year. So what does that mean for people who are trying to make that decision?
So this is why NARAB is out here fighting so aggressively. We're fighting so aggressively because when and one of our leaders who talks about this, and he says it so well, Mark Austin, who is our public affairs chair, when credit is low, it's harder for black people to get access to credit. When interest rates are high, credit loosens. When interest rates are low, it's hard for us to get credit. When interest rates go up, then all of a sudden what? It's easier for black people to get credit. So we want to fight. We're fighting to what? Have greater access to credit at a lower interest rate.
That is correct.
Right? And so when you have a situation where we have the average net wealth of a white person in America is over $130,000. The average net wealth of a black person in America is $11,000 after you pay all your bills. Mm-hmm. So when you have this 30% gap, and we know that real estate is one of the reasons, one of the key indicators that determines net wealth, that's why we're pushing for home ownership. It's not we're geniuses. We understand that real estate is key to bridging the home ownership gap and bridging the wealth gap in America. $135,000 for whites, $11,000 for blacks.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. William calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for hanging on, William. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure.
My wife and I, when we got together, she put a stipulation in our relationship that, first of all, I would have to buy me a house in order to be with her.
I'll have you on the relationship show, but go right ahead.
Yeah, and she said that she could buy a house as well, and when we got together, we'd get a house together, which we all did. Now, here in the Raleigh market, we have two rental houses and a house that we built together.
Nice.
Should we sell those two properties? Since the market is really hot right now and the inventory for houses is really low, should we just hold on to them and keep them?
What do you want? Why? Let me ask before they answer. You want to sell the houses. If you sold the houses, what would you do with the money?
Well, we have a friend who moved to Texas, and he's developing houses out there now. He's doing very well in Dallas and Houston. So we were looking at maybe investing in his business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, because you were talking about selling the houses, and I guess the big question is why? We'll make the determination.
There's a mortgage on them.
Right.
It's a case by case.
That's correct.
It's a case by case. I mean, I guess the first question is how much do you owe on the houses, and what's your net going to be based on after the house is sold?
Well, based on the information that I've been researching and gathered, two houses combined, if we sold both of them, we're looking at about $125,000-$130,000 in equity that we can pull out after the houses are sold.
I would say that's a case-by-case basis, depending on your relationship with your friend, if you really want to do that. Because it sounds like, to me, you're already in a great place in terms of having your own home and then have two investment properties. That would be up to you and your wife deciding if this is the best thing for our family to move to do that. You're in a great place. I mean, a lot of people wish they were in that great place. So you have a dilemma that a lot of people love to have.
And then, and then also you need to find out from, we have some members of our association in your area. I'm not sure who, what real estate professional. You need an expert to help you do some projections to see how much that house is going to appreciate over the next 5 years. Is it better to sell now? Is it better to wait a couple of years? Because if the inventory is low, what other where is the place located? Because if it's major developments coming in your area, and someone may, maybe that house is worth $150,000 now, but maybe they're building with all the stuff that's going on in that community. Maybe they're building a new high-rise, 30-story office building a few blocks away. You've got to have someone that knows what's going on the ground that can tell you what's happening right now, what is the of the possible value moving forward, what other developments are taking place. So there's a there's a lot more thought beyond the, I can get 150 now, right? And how much I can make maybe in 2 or 3 years. I had a lady, a friend of mine, I'm a part-time agent, and she had a house that she could get, a developer told her she can get $70,000 for the house, right? They don't give them cash. Mm-hmm. She contacted myself. I brought a partner of mine in, and we told her what was going on. She went from $70,000 to $200,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
information is important. Mm-hmm. So if it's one thing I would ask you to take away is make sure you find out what's going on in that area, because as lay people, sometimes we read the paper, we don't always know all the different missing pieces, and then get someone that can kind of help you see what's the trend. And if the, you know, if the inventory is short, how short is it? How short is it in that area? And they can do some trend analysis for you.
Also, he may want to consider consulting with his tax person, because selling a house
always.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right.
There's going to be some issues there. Yeah. So, William, you may want to consult with your tax preparer.
Yeah,
if I
true.
Sell my house now, or sell my investment property now, what's the repercussions of that?
That's right. And William, you know, pursuant to the way you started this conversation, the person you really need to talk to is your wife, because she has the final say. William, thank you so much for calling. And good luck to both of you. And
yes,
thank you so much for calling the program. I want to thank both of you, Antoine Thompson and Saron Pugh, for participating in this. And remember that Community Wealth Building Day, the event is Saturday, April 8th from 10 to 3. It's at the Southern Regional Technology and Recreation Complex, 7007 Bach Road, Fort Washington. Go and learn something. And, of course, as always, that information will be posted on WHUR.com after the program. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this April 5th. I'm Harold Fisher.